really concerned about my mouse, I'm not gonna lie. It could die anytime now, apparently. Hi. Welcome to the 2-point conversion and my misery with my mouse who is won't recharge. Jay, what episode is this? Do you know? Is it like 5, 4?
It's a lot. We're a lot into it.
Yeah. Are we supposed to be keeping count? Because I haven't been keeping
count. No, we'll leave that to the speak on it guys.
Okay. Good. Because I can't do that.
We're just having fun. We don't have the Danny Ocean voice, you know, to grace us.
we're just here to make your Monday night go a little smoother because it is Monday and
Mondays suck.
Oh my God, they so do. They so do.
They suck when it's not football season.
Well, especially Mondays after a holiday. Because everyone's like, oh, I ate too much, or oh, I'm so tired. And I work at a bar, but I don't work on Mondays. But those are like the slowest days ever. Like no one comes out because they've all like already eaten and stuff.
That would be me. I ate enough for a small country yesterday.
I think that and just between you and me right now, I think that I've done something wrong where our show's not pulling up on YouTube. I don't know what I did, but I'm really sorry about that. So my apologies if you're trying to hit us up on YouTube. I'm not sure what I did wrong. And it was something probably really small, but whatever. If you're on Twitter, we can't get your tweets because of some unknown reason. And if you can't pull us up on YouTube, we can't get your tweets. So you're going to have to go to Facebook or Twitch. I'm sorry. I'm just not, you know, technologically sound today. And that's it's Monday. So that's my excuse. Anyway.
Did you hear that, Jamie? Jamie, did you hear that? Those are your instructions. You got to go to Facebook tonight.
Yeah. Kyle, too. I think Kyle. Yikes. I think Kyle is another one that's on. And yeah. Sorry, guys. My bad. Anyway, moving right along, we have a lot to cover today, a lot to go over. But before we do that, I want to make sure that anyone who's listening, if you're just listening to it, because I've done something crazy, our show is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. So if you go to Underdog Fantasy, you can play in any of like the three-letter sports, like PGA, MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, all those sports Underdog covers. For best ball, you can play, unless you're in Colorado, you can play their swap outs. And if you deposit up to $100, Underdog will match it if you use the GF2 promo code. So go on to Underdog, use the GF2 promo code, and bet your little heart's desire, whatever you want to bet on. I'm doing best ball now. Please don't get in the best ball league with me because I'm having enough trouble as it is with the people I'm in with, because I'm really not very good at predicting who's going to be really good later on. But get in best ball with everybody else and win some money and feel good about yourselves. It's Monday. You deserve it. Also, for those of you who want to have a live podcast of your fantasy football league, Going for Two Live does that for you. And until April 30th, you get 20% off if you go to my favorite promo code 420, but I think you have to put in April 20th. You can't put in 420. Jeff, whatever. It would have been much better if it was just like 420.
It would have been so much better at 420.
Thank you. It would have been so much better with 420, but it's April 20th. You get 20% off and you can do your fantasy football league live on Going for Two Live. So go to goingfortwolive.com to find out all the information about that. And boom, housekeeping done. So we will get started. And we
handled that like a pro.
Thank you. Thank you. That's because I know
it was very, Kyle Sinra-ish there.
that is all I aim for. that's because I know no one's watching because I fucked up. But anyway, let's talk about the Masters first, because neither one of us, or I'm not a golf aficionado. So that'd be our quickest conversation.
Yeah.
I watched Sunday, early Sunday, they had the end of the third round, and then later Sunday, they had the final round, right? And so I'm watching it, and first of all, Tiger pulled out, which I probably should have stopped watching it when he pulled out Sunday. But Saturday, when it was raining and he was walking, it was so painful to watch him walk. It was, it just hurt. Like, I'm, why are you out there? You're Tiger Woods. I don't care if it's the Masters. You don't need that. And it looked like he hurt so bad. I physically hurt watching him walk Saturday. And I'm glad that he pulled out Sunday. And these people that are saying, oh, you shouldn't have been on there anyway, blah, blah, blah. You guys are crazy. You guys obviously have never played a sport, and you've never played a sport hurt, because that was ridiculous. Did you get to see any of it, Jay? No? Yeah?
I watched a little bit of it. I watched, like you said, up until Tiger, because that's literally one of the only three golfers that I've ever known outside of him and Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth. Those are the, you know, I'm such a non-golfer, you know, type person. Tiger, to me, is kind of like the guy. He's like the boxer, right, that is kind of holding on too long. And every single time that he gets another match, he just kind of tarnishes his legacy a little bit.
Yes.
And so I don't know. I don't know what he's still holding on to. I think that it's clearly time to hang it up. And if that's not one, and it's just a rainy, miserable Masters. Wouldn't that suck though? If that's the last time that you saw Tiger Woods was on a rainy, terrible, limpy Masters where he's like limping off the course. It's terrible.
It was really bad. And I hope that's not the last time I see Tiger, although I probably not going to watch another golf tournament. I mean, I only watched it because it was Masters, right? And I only watched it because there's nothing, literally nothing else Sunday morning on at that time that they came on. But your boy, Jordan Spieth, kind of like made a rush for the final. He was doing pretty well, and then he like wasn't. But here's my question. So I don't know that much about golf, right? I do know about this LIV thing. Do you think, so three of the guys from LIV came in the top four, like Patrick Reed, Brooks, and then Phil Mickelson. Are you going to start watching that now? Will you watch that?
It will be more watchable, because you're going to get shorter. You're going to get shorter tournaments, less time. Well, golf is just one of those sports that's just like, it's unbearable to watch, right? It's one of those things that's going to be funner to play than it is to actual watch. I think of sports like bowling and baseball and golf, you know. But if it, you know, you get a little more personality in there. It's also, golf is very like the elitist sport, and you know, they hush hush the people that are celebrating and, you know, all of that type of stuff. So if we get a little, if it gets a little loose, a little looser, a little more fan friendly, yeah, I might venture out to watch it a little bit.
I'm not gonna lie, the only reason I started watching golf was because of Tiger Woods. Like, I had no interest in watching it before, and now that he's limping, like, you know, everything hurts him, I have no interest in watching it now. So
yeah. He had a great run, but it's definitely time to hang him up.
And do they? Well, he doesn't need the money. Like, I can't think of a reason except that you're in the match. I mean, he barely made the cut. Like, I honestly think they probably gerrymandered some things, so he did make the cut, but he barely made the cut. So, and he like you said, he's tarnishing that image. Like, if this is the last time that you see Tiger Woods on a golf course, it's not good. It's not good at all. And it makes me sad inside my happy girl place. So let's stop talking about it. Let's talk about, okay, here you have your choices. Next, let's go OBJ next. Do you think, because I have like kind of changed my opinion on this, do you think OBJ's one-year contract, $15 million guaranteed with the Baltimore Ravens means that Lamar Jackson will come back and play for the Ravens?
No.
See, I disagree. I think he will play on that one-year franchise tag, and then – and I was the one who was like, no, he's not playing.
Yeah, he's never playing again.
He's never playing again.
You bought that one like for in consecutive weeks. I'm buying Lamar not playing. I don't think that OBJ moves the needle in that situation, because it's not just about – OBJ anymore. It's or just having the talent anymore. There's just, that relationship is fractured. It is severely fractured. You cannot go back to it. It's one of those things where I mean, I get it, right? You know, Odell, I mean, he's, where else was he going to get $15 million? He wasn't going to get that much for the Jets, which is where he wanted to play. They weren't going to be able to give him that much money. The Cowboys were like, nah, you know, we're good. We had a chance, you know, last summer. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of still kind of wondering who Odell Beckham is now. You know, didn't play at all, you know, still recovering. We don't really know if he's the same caliber player. And I just think that the relationship is just fractured beyond repair for me. I've come along to where you were, where I don't think that he's going to play for the Ravens this year.
Okay, here's my thing. I think that I agree. I don't think that OBJ is the one-handed OBJ catch that everyone likes to keep in their mind and think that he's going to do. I think he did good the last time we saw him on the field, which was actually, like, he didn't play last year. It was a year ago, and he did good because Cooper Kupp was number one.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to worry about
double coverage.
In Baltimore, he's going to be number one. I mean, they just don't have the wide receiver.
I mean, when their answer for getting Lamar Jackson help was Nelson Aguilar. I mean, here, throw it to your through the second best tight end in an NFL or Nelson Aguilar.
Exactly. You know? I think though that the mystique of OBJ is enough to bring Lamar Jackson to play on that 1 year franchise tag. And then just go on his way.
I will say that Lamar Jackson, so the disrespect to Lamar Jackson's name is like baffling to me. The crazy thing, this is how crazy this is for the Ravens and Baltimore, because I heard something where they haven't had a Pro Bowl receiver who actually played receiver since they became the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
They've had a couple of guys make it as special teamers, but never as a Pro Bowl wide receiver, which baffles me when you have an MVP quarterback, where to the point where Odell Beckham Jr. is easily at this point in his career off of bad wheels, multiple surgeries. Now he is easily the best receiver that Lamar Jackson has ever played with in an NFL. Yes. Just simply makes my jaw drop. And it's crazy.
And it's not like he's had like injuries. It's the same injury. It's that same ACL. He's torn like that ACL twice and had surgery on that ACL twice. And I'm sorry. I mean, I saw like shorts of his workout that he did for, I guess it was for the Cowboys or maybe it's for multiple teams. Well, you know, and it's like the combine kind of workout. Everything's scripted. You're jacked up, you know. You look good because you've been working out, but everything's scripted and no one's tackling you. No one is tackling you. So yeah, you're going to look really, really good. But what's going to happen when you get that knee hurt like the first time, you know?
Yeah, I will say in fairness to OBJ, the formerly great player that we're talking about, it probably was wise for him not to play last year because now he's going to be a good year removed from the ACL tear in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So if there's a chance that he can recover form, it's going to be beneficial that he didn't play at all, you know, last year. So I like to see players on the second year back from the ACL, even though it's not, won't quite be 2 years. It still gave him an entire year off. You know, they got a new office, you know, Baltimore is trying to move in a new direction, offensive coordinator, but I don't know. I think it might be a little too late for me with Lamar.
So now you're on my like last week's train. You don't think he'll play at all? Because it doesn't look like any other team is really going to go after him. At least in no team that has the cachet that Baltimore wants.
I guess we'll find out, right? I guess we'll find out the closer we get to draft, the longer this Aaron Rodgers thing goes on between the Packers and the Jets. I can see a wild card coming out of nowhere. But yeah, I do think that Lamar's not going to play for the Ravens this year.
Are you saying you think that Lamar's going to go to the Jets?
No.
You're saying?
Oh, okay. I wish. God, good Lord, I wish. Why? I'm not even a Jets fan.
For fantasy purposes?
I just like Lamar. I just think Lamar Jackson deserves a fair shot at being an elite quarterback and being recognized for his talents. There's always this, yeah, but, you know, that follows Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And you give him some weapons. I mean, the Jets have a lot of them. They got a lot of young weapons, a lot of very good elite players. They got an elite defense. Yeah, I just don't – it bothers me to my core that Aaron Rodgers gets to get a ready-made young team like that that's already on the cusp of being, you know, really good, and then he gets to be the quote-unquote person that takes them over the top, which is going to happen if he goes to the Jets.
I don't. They've been holding out for way too long, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know that.
Well, the Jets know their price. They know that they don't have to move. It's on the ball's on the Packers' court. The situation is toxic for the Packers. It's not toxic for the Jets. The Jets can play the waiting game and, you know, take whatever capital they want to give up. The Packers are the ones that can't go back. They're the ones that can't come into, you know, training camp with Aaron Rodgers still on their roster. They can't do it.
Could they come into training camp with Aaron Rodgers on their roster and still start Jordan Love?
No.
Why?
I think that the start of the training camp, right, that's when you want to just everything that's old is now gone. This is new. Let's get ready. Focus on here. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone before they get to camp. But the Jets know that, and they know that they don't have to give up more than what they want because the Packers are desperate. The Packers are more desperate to get rid of Aaron Rodgers than the Jets are to take on Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion.
So you think the Jets are playing the waiting game and trying to get him on the cheap?
I do.
Okay, the longer the Jets wait, like, right, the longer the Jets wait on the Packers to make their move, if they are going to make their move, kind of hurts the Jets too, doesn't it? I mean, they don't have a quarterback right now.
Yeah, but they also have the 11th pick in the draft. So if there's the Aaron Rodgers thing falls down and we go and we're coming into the draft and, you know, there's quarterbacks in the draft that they could – I don't think they'll take that. I definitely think they're going for Aaron Rodgers, but the Jets just know that they have the waiting game in their favor.
And I don't think there would be a quarterback that they'd want on the 11th pick. They'd have to move up.
11 or 13. I may have misspoke on that, but I can't remember.
Okay. All right. So you don't think OBJ moves the needle. I think it moves it slightly. I think it's a consideration point for Lamar, but I mean
it may get him to unpack his underwear out of the suitcase, right? You know, I'll give you that.
Unpack his underwear. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before. But I like it. So all right, I think why would you pay $15 million guaranteed to OBJ if you don't have a quarterback that, do you know what I mean? Like, you have to have a quarterback or you're giving up $15 million for nothing because, let's face it, if OBJ doesn't have a good quarterback, he's not even the OBJ of the Rams, like number two OBJ. So he needs... Correct. So I don't.
Well, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson are playing different games, right? The Ravens are playing the business of football and negotiations and the business of offseason negotiations where they're saying, okay, we're going to do what we're going to do. We know what the Ravens are going to do in the draft. They're going to drive 8 million defensive players. It was shocking that they spent the money on Odell Beckham because that's not where they typically spend their money. Right. And they're saying, you know, at the end of the day, this is all what happens before the pads get on. And once the pads get on, you know, you start getting around the guys. I think that the Ravens believe that they have their guy, that he's going to be there next year. And it's a one-year marriage. It's a marriage with, you know, that we already know has an end date. It's already going to expire. And I think that the Ravens at this point are okay with it. And they believe that Lamar Jackson is eventually going to come around.
You think the Ravens honestly believe that? Like no one in the known hemisphere believes that. Like no one I've ever heard believes that Lamar Jackson is going to come around.
the narrative is in their favor. The narrative is in the Ravens' favor, right? Lamar Jackson, yeah, but MVP, yeah, but, you know, he's always hurt. You know, we don't really want to move. We want to reset the needle anyway. They've already colluded with the owners. I know I'm going to say that. Can't prove it, but it's what it looks like to me. They've already colluded to reset the quarterbacks, and they've made Lamar Jackson the the poster boy for that. So they're going to wait him out.
Perhaps. That's just gross, because you can't tell me there are 10 quarterbacks better than Lamar Jackson playing right now in the league.
No way. No way. Yeah.
And you can't tell me that Aaron Rodgers is right now better than Lamar Jackson. So it's gross. It's gross, and so we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the WNBA draft tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
big surprise at number one overall, huh?
Okay.
Didn't see that one coming.
No one saw that. So Aaliyah Boston, of course, number one. Here's the thing about the whole thing. First of all, don't get me wrong. I love Holly Rowe. I did not love her tonight. I did not love her tonight at all. I wanted her to stop talking. As soon as she started, when she did that whole walk around before they started the draft, I'm like, please stop. Just please stop. Second, three South Carolinas going in top 10. That's awesome. I mean,
I was shocked that it wasn't a fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that Bria was going to go, I don't know, maybe it was wishful thinking. I thought it was a perfect scenario. I thought that Bria was going to go to the Fever to team up with her teammate. But
that would have been a good scenario. But no, that did not happen. But I think the best thing that happened was having Iowa State, Indiana, and Villanova have players going in the first round. Because it just shows that portal is
a monster.
It's pretty spectacular. I mean, the two UConn girls that went, both came to UConn through the portal. They were both transfers. So I'm like, and then I just heard Lith from Louisville entering in the portal. Like, I'm like, this has got to be the greatest game changer of all game changers.
Yeah, the NIL, I mean, I've said it a bunch of times. The NIL was a great reset to college sports. It's going to change things forever. For college athletics, so I'm all for it.
They were talking to the kid from Texas A&M that was at the Masters said that, like, for the late third round, he was like playing late, like he was doing well. He kind of folded, but he ended up in, like, I think the top 20 at least. And they were saying, you know, how much money that he was missing, and his reply was, I'm not really missing that much because of the NILs. And they showed his, like, it was like $250,000, I think, that he would have gotten had he been a pro. So he's garnishing that much just by playing in the Masters, just by the logos that he had on his shirt, and still going back to Texas A&M. That's awesome.
It's what should have always been true of college sports, right? They've been, especially when the bigger sports, right, the football, you know, basketball, where they were making billions and billions and billions off of these players, and they couldn't make, and you have these guys that are, you know, these elite blue chip players that are like on living stipends to be on college campus. They're being, you know, flirted with houses and women and cars and money and all of these things. And you're telling this guy that he has to live on $1,000 a semester. You know what I mean? A food stipend at the cafeteria at the school. I mean, yeah.
A food stipend. That's true, though. They suck because you can't get anything on a food stipend at the cafeteria. Especially when you're talking about a football player who needs, like, you know, a gazillion calories a day to maintain whatever weight they want them to maintain. Okay, but yeah, so UConn had two. Tennessee had one, top 10. The first round is 12 teams. It's, I don't, I don't, pretend to understand the WNBA draft at all. Like 12 teams first round, the Vegas team doesn't get to pick until like the very end because they won. But the first round, UConn had two, USC or South Carolina had three, Stanford had one. You know who didn't have any in the first round? LSU. She went the second round. She went early second round.
Deja.
Early second round.
Yep.
LSU.
Yeah, that's because Angel Reese is not eligible to be drafted.
Are you saying Angel Reese is the only player they have? No.
No, I think that Alexis, you know, was good. You know, Jasmine was good, you know, in that game. I think she definitely played up her draft stock. But the star there is Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. You know, that's another thing. That's part of buy, sell, hope. But yeah, yeah, that's because Angel is not eligible to be drafted. So that's what that is.
Okay, maybe. I just find it hard that the team that won the championship had no player in the first round of the NBA draft, WNBA draft.
Yet. Next year, there'll be one. You do know that the WNBA has like that weird draft rule, right, with the college players. Like, they have to be 4 years removed from their 18th birthday. They can declare as a junior, but they have to have turned 22 years old in the same calendar year before the draft started, which is why Caitlin Clark couldn't go to the WNBA because she doesn't turn 22 until May.
Wait, that only applies to the U.S. players because the girl from France, right, and
only for U.S. players, which I was getting ready to say, that's why it's so weird, because if you're from, you know, overseas, then have at it. But the U.S. players, they're forcing them to basically stay their senior year pretty much.
Right, because the French girl and the Australian girl were both only 19, and they made a point of saying that like five times that they were both 19-year-olds. And the UConn that got drafted from, she's actually from Hungary, went through the portal. Maybe she is 22 because she had a couple transfers going on in there. I thought she looked really young too. But yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's highly suspected that if you get drafted in the NBA in the first round, you're automatically on the team. That's not so in the WNBA.
Right.
You're still fighting for a position.
Yeah.
Which.
And that's because there's just not a lot of teams in the WNBA. So when they start expanding and there's more roster spots, then you're going to kind of see more of that be the case, where number one draft picks are going to be pretty much the anchors of the teams that they're on.
Okay. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting in a kind of non-climatic way. Like, people went as you thought they were going to go, you know, Dallas had a windfall because they had a crazy trade, but yeah, it wasn't interesting. And Holly Rowe made it less interesting. Like, I had to turn it off because she was kind of cringeworthy today, which makes me sad because I love Holly Rowe. I mean, I like her a lot. But yeah, all right, let's go on to your favorite subject, WNBA. Or no, NBA.
The NBA.
All right, so can we just put aside the fact that Embiid's going to be the MVP? Are we just going to, like, is that just...
Do I have to?
No, you don't have to. Who do you think?
I think it's going to be Embiid, but I don't think that it should be. I think that the MVP of the NBA is the same player that has been for the last 5 years, and that's Giannis. You're talking about Giannis. When you take Embiid off of the 76ers, they can stay afloat. Okay. Right. They'll be a good team. They won't be a title contending team. Definitely they won't be, but they're still a good team. Okay. You take Giannis off of the Bucks, man, that team is hovering around in the play-in game. And he just does everything for the Bucks. He's averaging what, 33, 11 and 5. And if it's not going to be Giannis, then it should go to the most skilled player. that is in the MVP voting, which will be Nikola Jokic. But they don't want to give it to him again because that would be his third consecutive win. And Giannis, so it's kind of like the MVP. I've long stopped caring about the MVP because and this goes all the way back to, you know, back when Michael Jordan was playing, where they just got tired of giving it to Michael Jordan. So they're like, here, Charles Barkley, here, Karl Malone. Same thing with Kobe Bryant. Steve Nash has two of Kobe Bryant's MVPs. Every player after 2000 has all of LeBron James's MVPs. LeBron James could have been an MVP for 10 straight years. You know what I mean? So I just think that it's one of those things where it's like, okay, we can't give it to Giannis again. Jason Tatum's not ready. Nikola Jokic, you've won it twice. You got hurt, and their cause got helped out a little bit because the Joker got hurt, you know, in the last latter part of the season, which is normally the calling card for Embiid. Is he a great player? Sensational, right? I don't hate that he's getting the MVP, but he's not the most valuable player in the NBA.
Okay, so so you would give it to either Giannis or Joker?
I would. And about it without second guessing it.
So why do you think Embiid's going to get it then?
Because they're tired of giving it to those two players. And there's been that growing narrative for a while of how tantalizing Embiid's talent is. And man, if he can stay healthy and put it together, there's not a big man like that, you know, who can go out there and get 50 points and 20 rebounds in his sleep. He's an O'Day to old school centers, but also he can pull you out and shoot, and he's a mismatch, you know, and he's got personality. He's got personality, way more personality than the Joker, way more personality than Giannis. And so he will be the people's champion MVP. He's a good choice in terms of, yeah, you know, we like Joel Embiid, but he is not the most valuable player in the league.
Wait, I think that Giannis has really a lot of personality. Am I wrong?
He's a little quirky. Okay. I'm not going to say he, I mean, he's definitely no Tim Duncan, you know, out there, but he's a little quirky. His jokes is, you know, he's a little quirky.
And I think that's what I like about him. I think maybe he's a little quirky. All right. So you're like, okay, let's just go on. The playing games. I need you to explain the playing games. So there are teams that can lose the play-in games and still go on?
The 7 and the 8 seed. The 7 and the 8 seed can lose. Okay. And then they drop that because if the 7 seed wins, okay, they whoever wins the 7-8 game, they go into the bracket to play, for example, let's take the West. Okay. The Lakers are playing the Timberwolves. So if the Lakers win, they go into the bracket, the big bracket, the playoff bracket to face the Grizzlies. Okay. If the Wolves win, the Wolves go into the bracket. Then the Lakers will play, because they're the highest seed, they will play the winner of the Pelicans and who is it? The Thunder.
Right.
So if you're in that 7-8 game, you basically have a double elimination, right? You got to lose twice to be eliminated.
Okay, they should have just said that. That's so much easier to understand. So who do you think? Do you think there's a play-in team that has a chance to win the tournament?
Absolutely, I do. Oh, without putting my Homer glasses.
Yeah.
Then that's not me being a Homer. That's legitimate. I really do think that. So who would be dangerous, right? So you go into the East. I think that a team like Miami could be dangerous coming out of there. They're in a play-in game. They won their division, you know, which is weird, right? They won their division, but they're in a play-in game.
Right.
So I would say it would be Miami out in the East that has a legitimate chance to get there. You get there, they're just a tough, gritty team, well-coached, Spoelstra. I mean, Jimmy Butler is an elite player in this league. Tyler Hero, you know, they got some good pieces there. They're tough, they're gritty, they're tough out, and they're going to give you a series. Whoever they play, they're going to be competition. If you listen to Kendrick Perkins, he's saying that, you know, that they are a problem for the Celtics. He's putting the Celtics on upset alert. On the West, Kendrick Perkins says a lot of you know, crazy weird things.
Yeah.
On the West, without me being a Lakers fan, I do say that the Lakers are incredibly dangerous because the Lakers have two really, really bad matchups that they want to avoid as long as possible. And both of those teams happen to be playing each other, the Phoenix Suns and the LA Clippers. So they're going to get rid of those. I think that the Lakers will fare better. They will do better against the Suns, right, who are going to probably beat the Clippers. But the Lakers got gift-wrapped basically because of Rudy Gobert and Jaden, like McDaniels. So Rudy Gobert punches his teammate in the game.
Whatever.
It was an NBA punch, right? It definitely was an NBA punch.
Okay.
And so now he's got himself suspended, you know, for the game.
Right.
And then Jaden comes in and he punches a wall and breaks his hand. And this happened in the same game, by the way. Just absolutely blows my mind that they just, you know, self-destructed like that. The Lakers were already a dangerous team, right? They're coming in, they're healthy. AD is healthy. LeBron is healthy. D'Angelo Russell is healthy. You know that since that trade, the Lakers have been one of the better teams in the NBA. This is just a completely different team. The weaknesses that the Lakers had have been fixed in that trade. They have more depth. They have shooting now, and their defensive numbers are starting to come way up. And the best part about the Lakers is it looks to me like Anthony Davis has finally decided that I have to be the best player on this team, not LeBron James. And that's the transition that I see where the Lakers are really kind of going into it. So they're going to come into it. They're going to, you know, the Grizzlies, you take the Lakers and the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies could probably beat the Lakers in a one game, you know, win for all because of their speed and their talent and their youth and their depth. But we're talking about a 7-game series with LeBron James. So I think that the Lakers, they're going to beat the Grizzlies. And they're on the 2-seed. They're in the 2-side of the bracket. So they're going to either come across either the Kings or the Warriors. Well, you'd worry about the Warriors just because of the way they can shoot. But the Kings actually match up very well with the Warriors. So I think that the Kings are going to eliminate the Warriors. And then the Lakers are going to get those guys. And they're going to beat them. And now you get the Phoenix Suns in the finals, who Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Ayton. Yeah, you guys are great starting five, but you have no depth. The Lakers have dragged them into an extended series. That depth is going to start to show up. So I think that the Lakers have a legitimate shot, and that's not just my homer take.
Okay, so as a fair weather fan that I am with basketball, with the NBA, any pro basketball, I want the Clippers to beat the Suns because I just think that would be great. I want Sacramento to beat the Warriors because I think that would just be – that would like for
– that's good for basketball.
Right. For someone who like me who just watches once the playoff starts, I think that would be an amazing outcome. However, the Miami-Atlanta series or one game play-in thingy – why do I think that would be the most interesting matchup going?
Because you're correct, which that's my buy, sell, hold, by the way, about the NBA, the play-in tournament. So, okay, let's do it, right? Let's do it right now. Just buy, sell, hold. The NBA play-in tournament is good for the NBA.
Buy. Okay. Wait, buy means I agree, right?
You agree, yeah.
Yeah, buy. I buy it all day long. Like, I wouldn't – yeah. Like I said, I'm like a fair weather NBA fan. I only watch once the tournament starts. And now that they're having like this, what I thought was, you know, sudden death elimination of teams that have like star power on them. Like, you know, Trae Young, I know who that is, even though I'm not a huge fan. Yeah, I'm all in for watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to hold. I thought about selling it because I know what the play-in tournament is. I know what it was. I know how it started out. To me, the play-in tournament is I've affectionately nicknamed it the Zion Williamson Invitational. Right? They brought it in because at the time when they brought it in, the Pelicans with Zion Williamson, who the league wanted to be their future star, the face of the league. They're hovering around that 10 spot. So they're like, we got to figure out a way to get this guy into the postseason. and they didn't even make it. That's where that came from. That's where that came from. The whole thing with Zion. And I think that it's absolutely ridiculous that they're doing this. Take the eight teams. It's already bad enough that there were 16 out of the 32 teams in the league that were there. Already half of the league make the postseason. And now we're going to add more teams to it. And so now it's 2/3 of the league is going to make the postseason. And you're going to take the Lakers, who should be a 7 seed, okay? The Timberwolves, who should be an 8 seed. If you can't come in the top 8, you don't deserve to make it into the postseason tournament. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Then you get it. Then you do this half single elimination, double elimination, weird rules thing right here, where it's just like, just let's just get rid of that. Just get rid of it. Let's just go back to how it was. Go back to the top 8 teams. And then, hey, you know what? Everybody gets a participation trophy these days. So it's good for the NBA, though. And this is why I'm holding and why I didn't sell. It's good for the NBA because it does what you said, right? What's the greatest thing about March Madness?
Single elimination. One and done.
How many people are going to watch that game tomorrow night? The Lakers and the Wolves. Single elimination game. Even if you hate those teams, even if you don't like them, you're watching that game. Just like you said, that one single game, that one game, the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks, that might be one of the best games in the first round. That might be one of the best games in the playoffs until we start getting to some of these marquee matchups where the higher seeded teams, you know, run across each other. Both of those teams underachieved. Neither of those teams should be in the play-in, but it is what it is because Brooklyn got hot. You know, they kind of kept par for the course. Nobody expected the Cleveland Cavaliers to be that good, you know, this year. Even with the trade of, you know, Donovan Mitchell, you kind of figured that they were a lower rung team. Here they're coming in the 4 seed. And so what the play-in has done is it's taken away, you know, the seeds of some of these other teams where now you're forced to get it like this. So it's good for the NBA, but I think that it's a terrible, terrible thing and it needs to go away quickly. But they won't. Money talks and everything else walks.
Well, I mean, I kind of sort of agree. I don't understand the whole double elimination thing on a play-in game. I don't get that. I mean, it's either a single elimination or it's a double elimination for everyone. Do you know what I mean? I don't.
Right.
The whole 7-8, whatever. I don't get it. But I'm going to watch the playing games. I might not even watch like this when they go to like a 7-game series. I don't even know if I'm going to watch that. But I will watch a single elimination playing game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
It's awesome. I mean, right? It's awesome. I one and done. You're fighting for your life. I mean, the reason I don't watch the NBA is because they play like, what, 200 games in a season? it's like 200 games in a season. Same reason I don't watch baseball. There's way too many games. Like, yeah. You're playing like the Lakers. Like, a team could seriously be out of it. And then because there are so many games, just jump right back in. I'll go on a hot streak and you're right back in it. And
yeah, go on a hot streak at the right time. Not just go on a hot streak, but you, the Lakers pretty much were trash all the way up until Valentine's Day.
Right.
They pull off this robbery of a trade on the Timberwolves, which is weird that we're playing the Timberwolves right here. And now all of a sudden in the last, you know, 13 games, the Lakers are like 9-10-3 over there. It's crazy. They just got, you know, hot. Look at the Warriors, which is why I said it's good for the NBA that the Kings beat the Warriors because the Warriors were on cruise control. They were horrible this year. They couldn't win a game on the road, but all of a sudden, here they come. I mean, you see the game yesterday, they have 55 points in the first quarter.
Oh, is that the game? It's like 150-something.
They have 55 in the first quarter. I hate the Warriors because they literally, you talk about a team that's literally flipping a switch. That's the Warriors right now.
Wait, aren't they still bad on the road?
And we'll see if that carries over into the playoffs. Sound like Jim Mora, playoffs. Goodness.
You kind of did. I mean, okay, the Warriors and the Kings. Is that a single elimination?
No, that's a traditional bracket. They're in a traditional bracket. The okay. Warriors are the 6th seed, and the Kings are the 3 seed. So that's a best of 7 series.
Ugh, that means I have to watch it. Because I want the Kings to win the whole thing. I just do. I think it would be awesome if they won the whole thing. What?
As a Lakers fan, I'm going to say something that I can finally admit. Because I watched the documentary of the Tim Donaghy story. As a Lakers fan, I can humbly say that we stole a championship from the Sacramento Kings. Back then, I had my Homer glasses on. I was like, I remember that game. We had this church event, and it was at Universal Studios in Hollywood, this big, gigantic event. And the Lakers were down by like a billion points. And everybody's like, oh, you know, whatever. And as we were coming, I made it back in time to see if when, like, I saw the comeback. And some of the calls that the Lakers were getting, I was embarrassed as a Lakers fan. I was like, my goodness. So the Sacramento Kings, yeah, because they would have gone on. And the Lakers beat the Pacers that year. Or maybe it was the Nets. They would have, whoever it was that came out of the East, the Kings would have won that championship. So the NBA, yeah, the NBA owes the Kings a championship. So, I will say that.
So this year would be a good year because I'm vested in it. So
you get vested interest in it.
So this would be a good year for them to do it. All right, which number one seed do you think isn't going to make it out of the first round for their games?
Out of the first round?
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't see that happening.
Denver? Yeah. I'm calling it right now.
It depends on who they get, right? If it's the Pelicans that come out of there. So the Pelicans would have to, obviously they'd have to beat the Thunder, and then they'd have to beat the loser of the Lakers and the Timberwolves, which we already know. The Timberwolves are done. I don't see Anthony Edwards. I love him, but no, that's just too much to overcome for them coming into it. So they're going to fall. The Lakers are going to beat them. And then I think that the Pelicans are going to beat the Thunder. And then that's the game, right? If it's the Pelicans, because the Pelicans outside of the Lakers are one of the hottest teams actually coming in, you know, to the playoffs. They're on fire right now. And they match up pretty badly for they can do the things that can get Denver into a lot of trouble.
Okay.
And so if I had to pick one, which I don't believe is going to happen, I would say that the Pelicans will be the most dangerous 8 seed to a number one.
Okay. But like you said, it all depends because there's so many games when a team is getting hot at the right time.
Yeah.
The Nugs aren't really getting hot. Like they're kind of getting a little chilly, if not ice cold.
They've limped in, right? They've limped into the playoffs a little bit. Joker was hurt for a while. They definitely don't look like the team that they were on New Year's Day.
Right. So I mean, that's why I would pick them to lose. Maybe not in the first round, but I don't. Yeah, maybe in the first round. I mean, I don't.
They do still have the greatest home court advantage, right? You know, it going up into the Mile High, it's tough to play in those games there. I think that, you know, Nikola Jokic is good enough for his team to not lose in the first round. But they got some warts. They do have some warts there. They could be vulnerable.
Okay. So, and you're not picking any team, you think both the number ones will go through?
I think that both number ones are going to get out of the first round.
All right. So which number one do you think is more vulnerable?
In the first round?
No, just in the tournament.
Oh, okay. It's going to be Denver.
Oh.
I think that Denver's in a tougher, they're in a tougher conference with teams. They got a number of teams that can beat them. I mean, starting in the way the bracket goes, right, in the second round, the Denver Nuggets draw a nightmare matchup in the second round. If they survive that first round game, they're going to either play the Clippers or they're going to play the Suns, who both of those teams are going to give the Nuggets the business. That's a bad matchup for them.
So who do you think is coming out of the East?
I think the Celtics are coming out of the East. Yeah. I do. I think that Celtics are coming out. I think that, you know, losing in the finals, you know, last year, that's the hurt that they need to kind of get over the top. I think that the Bucks blew their brakes off, which kind of gives them a little bit of a little bit bulletin board. They beat them by like 35 points, like not too long ago. I think that Jason Tatum is probably one of the better young players in the league, and he's ascending. I love Jaylen Brown. I'm a little bit worried about the hand, right? He cut his hand. You know, got some stitches, you know, on his hand a little bit there. You always get a wild card, and you don't know which Marcus Smart is going to show up for them. But I do think that they just have the best combination of, you know, two players that work well together and depth. And I just think that the Celtics are the team to beat. I think the Celtics are going to be the champions, by the way, which kills me to say as a Lakers fan.
All right. So your finals are who? Celtics and the Lakers?
My finals are the Suns and the Celtics. Oh. And the Celtics are going to win.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to stick with the Kings and the Celtics.
Hey, you know what? If my Lakers are out of contention, I'm going to hop on that bandwagon with you. go Kings.
That's only because you know that they got robbed playing your sport.
Broad daylight. That was robbery in broad day. Have you seen a documentary? Have you seen a documentary on Dunnicky? No. You got to watch it. So okay. It starts off, first of all, he was a young ref. He comes in, right? And the first mistake that he did was he called travel on Michael Jordan. Right. So they had the, you know, refs, they talk about, even in the high school level, they will talk about, and before the season starts, some things that they want to kind of, you know, get out of the game a little bit, kind of clean up a little bit. So they wanted to call travel, particularly the pivot move where Jordan would do all the time, the post, and then he would pivot off and then a little spin. And so Donahue, being a young ref, calls Jordan for travel. And so he gets a call right there. Like, of course, Jordan chews him out or whatever. And they're like, what are you doing? And he was like, he walked. He was like, you can't call that. He said, he traveled. He said, you can't call that on that guy. And it on Michael Jordan. Right.
Right.
And so that kind of takes him down this little path where he's like, oh, OK, the league actually wants me to call these games a certain way. Right. So then he starts giving these betting tips. Oh yeah, you know, play this team. You know, the Nuggets are going to be resting this player. He had the insider information. Then obviously this is pre Twitter and all of that type of stuff, right? We always talk about with daily fantasy basketball, don't even play if you can't be available, you know, 5 minutes right. before lock. Well, Dunnigy had that 5 minutes before lock information where he's like, hey, look, this is what's going on. Boom, boom, boom. We're calling it a little bit tighter today. You know, we're on this ref team. You know, this guy has it out for this guy. And it just kind of spawned out of control from there. Very, very interesting documentary on him.
I mean, I could see his point. You know, there, it's if it's what was the whole thing of like in late in the season in the NFL, there's this big the running back for used to play for Houston Texans, vegan, Arian Foster.
Arian Foster, yeah.
Gets on this podcast, and I'm not sure if he was like just bullshitting or, and says basically that the games are scripted is what he said. He actually said the games are scripted, and so it spirals.
Was it Arian Foster that said that? I thought it was the other dude that didn't play that good, like Dominic Davis or that guy.
He may have said it too. I know that because when he said it, I was like, oh, I love you, and now I don't love you so much.
Yeah,
but. And so it just like spiraled out and, you know, everyone's like, oh, so the games are scripted and this is why, the Joe Burrow gets these calls and Pat Mahomes gets these calls. And I can kind of see the rationale behind that train of thought. I mean, an advanced player, a Patrick Mahomes is going to get the calls that say,
yeah.
Davis Mills, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And in a way, that is a scripted kind of game. I mean, if you know, You know,
and that transcends, and that transcends sports, right? That, you know, yeah. you're talking about the superstar treatment that exists in all sports. Exactly. You know, Clayton Kershaw, when he's pitching, his strike zone's a little bit bigger, you know, than some of the other pitchers out there. You know, I mean, Michael Jordan, he's going to get a few more calls than some of the other, you know, players out there.
And I think that's a known commodity in every sport. Like, you know, and I don't know, like, all of a sudden it became kind of, oh my God, they're like, the games are scripted and they're cheating. It's not cheating. It's an
issue now because the advent of sports betting and how it's, you know, really, really starting to explode. And all of the sports leagues have basically embraced, you know, betting. That's why we have our promo there for Underdog Fantasy. Oh, you like how I did that?
Nice. Like that? That was great.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
So the sports, the sports betting, just the ease of acquisition to, you know, to gamble on sports there. And there's just a lot more money. There's a lot more influence there, and there's a lot more money to be made and lost off of, you know, single calls that definitely could change a game. So
you're saying they should change like 100.
Donahue was ahead of his time.
He was ahead of his time. That's just it. Poor guy. Yeah. All right. So now, I have like crazy notes. I have notes that you should see my notes. It's like psycho notes. But I want to say real quick before I forget, because I know I'm going to forget. So next Monday is Kyle with the press coverage. He's on at like 6 Mountain Time. He's on like way 2 hours ahead of us, so 8 o'clock his time. But he's going to have this guy from the Dynasty Football League. Anyway, the week after when we're supposed to be on, we're not going to be on because we are going to be on Thursday and do the draft coverage. So, well, if you're listening on YouTube, you're listening like after the fact, because during the fact I messed it up and you can't listen, which I really have no idea what I did wrong. And I'll figure it out, or Jeff will figure it out for me. Someone will figure it out. But so next week, listen to Kyle on press coverage. And then at 6 Mountain Time, 8, you know, whatever, Eastern Coast Time. Everything should be on Mountain Time, I think. And then the week after, look for us on Thursday, because Going for Two is going to be on the draft all night long. I think we're on at 8, right? We're on 8 Mark time? No, 8. Yep. 8 your time or my time?
My time.
Oh, shit. So 9 my time. And so I'm glad you said that. I'm going to have to probably put a note down on that. So 9 p.m. my time. But before us, there will be other, like all the Going for Two shows will be doing like a section, because we're on the best time zone. We will be doing the last section because it's easier for everybody else. So listen to us, because I guarantee you, this is a guarantee that you can take to the bank. We will have more correct
draft than Mel Kiper.
I guarantee it. That is a guarantee. We will have more correct than Mel Kiper. Anyway, so buy, sell, hold. Go ahead.
Yeah, I only got one, right? Because I used the other one up.
Exactly.
All right. So buy, sell, hold. The NCAA women's basketball welcomes the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese controversy.
Oh yeah, I think I'd buy that. I think they're the ones that like started the controversy, which even shouldn't have been a controversy, because I don't know. I have a feeling that all these people that are crying are people who have never played sports. Because I played sports. Now, I wasn't a trash talker because it just wasn't part of my game. Like, I didn't really care to do that. But I played with some primo trash talkers. Like, I played with women and girls who just would eviscerate you with their trash talk. And it's part of the game. It's the winner's prerogative to trash talk. If you don't want to hear someone trash talk, then friggin' win. And then you can be the trash talker. But the whole that, oh my God, Angel Reese led the ring, and the whole, Caitlin Clark did it too. And she did it the night before and no one had any problem with it. And she was like trash talking, was it Louisville that they played?
Yeah, Louisville. She told them to shut the F up. You're down by 15.
Exactly.
Now, after a turnover.
Thank you. So, you know, I think it was more, I think it was two things. I think it was the NC trying to like bolster their image. And I think it was also that racial component to it. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. The black girl's like in the white girl's face.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Ah. Ah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, for the NCAA, I'm going to give you a slow clap. Right?
Clap. Yeah.
Because the NCAA, you are the winner. You are the winner. You have finally managed to get women's college basketball on the map. You have finally managed to get women's college basketball, the viewership and the fans, because this is what happened. Remember, we talk about this all the time, why I didn't like the Super Bowl that much, Glass. Remember my reason why? There was no bad guy, right? There was no villain.
No villain.
Jalen Hurts, good guy. Patrick Mahomes, good guy. So you need a villain, you need a superhero, and you need some good old-fashioned controversy. And if that controversy happens to be a little bit racially charged, then hey, this is America. Go right ahead and do it, right? Caitlin Clark, the superhero. Okay, so college basketball fans knew who Caitlin Clark was for the last 2 years. She's been sensational the last 2 years. Even as a freshman, she was good. I saw some of her high school clips, and the girl was like, my goodness, right? Even though I felt like even coming into the tournament, she's beating up on the Big Ten a little bit, whatever. So she puts together these string of these games, these 40-point triple-doubles, right? And she's just bold and brash, and she's Steph Curry, and she's like pulling shots from three-point land. And so she gets this big hype thing, right? So now you got this budding superstar, this superhero, who, by the way, happens to be not just a superhero, but three words, the great white hype. Okay, where's her bad guy? Where's her villain? Her villain was not LSU. It was South Carolina. The unbeatable juggernaut who Gino Auriemma criticized of playing not a style of basketball. This is not basketball. They're out there roughing up. They're mauling everybody. And so he paints them as this bad guy. And you have Don constantly defending this team all year long. They come into this game 42 wins straight. Everybody just got an emotional invested interest in Caitlin Clark. Oh, wow. Yeah, Caitlin is Caitlin. Five white starters for Iowa, five black starters for South Carolina. Oh, perfect storm situation right there. Caitlin Clark is sensational in the game. Everybody that had a vested interest in Caitlin Clark, they now rooting for their hero, right? Now you get the matchup against LSU, which was, by the way, Angel Reese is 6-0 against Caitlin Clark. Okay? And it was so... The air was drawn out of it, right? We talk about the officials. The officials should never be the focal point of the game. Yeah. They decided that they were going to let LSU play. They didn't let Iowa play. Iowa's bigs were in Monica was in – what's her name? Monica – I can't remember the girl's name. Monica, the big girl. She was in foul trouble. Caitlin Clark herself, she was in foul trouble. She did the little whip around thing where she got the tech, which gave her fourth personal foul. And – all of the air was taken out of the sails a little bit, right? Because they expected this close game, and LSU was just dominant. I mean, from the very beginning. The very thing that South Carolina couldn't do, which was shoot the ball and actually force them to defend and take away, you know, Caitlin's ability to be the one-man show. That's what LSU was able to do. And so in comes in Angel, and she does the little, yo, she follows her around. Right. She's like, yo, look. Caitlin, I know you hear me. You can't say, hey, put this ring on here. And then it's not just that she did this. It's the – she just rolled her eyes. And that right there is what everybody was like, whoa, right? And it's to the victor, the spoils, as you were saying, in the NCAA. So now what do you have? Now you got a bunch of millions and millions and millions of brand new college basketball fans that are going to be tuning in next year, because you know why? Caitlin Clark could not go to the WNBA draft, and neither could Angel Reese. And you got your controversy right there. Oh, and South Carolina will be back. So now you got – and UConn, right? So you got these four teams that everybody's going to be like, oh, I cannot wait for this. Now, the undertones of what you're talking about, Gladys, I got a problem with all of the criticism for Angel Reese. And it's not just so much, yeah, there was a race thing that was there because Caitlin was doing it the whole tournament. Angel Reese, right? She comes out and she says it. I don't look like how you want me to look. I don't talk like how you want me to talk. I don't play like how you want me to play. She's flamboyant, right? She's got the little FloJo thing going on there. She's got the, you know, the leg compressor and on the one leg, you know, out there. She's got the lashes and the makeup, you know what I mean? And, you know, the long flowy hair. She's doing her thing out there. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than race. It's on top of the race. It's what women can and cannot do. See, men can do the same thing and be passionate in sports. Women cannot do that. Even Caitlin Clark was pushing the envelope with what people were acceptable or what people were comfortable with and just how she was trash talking. But she was so special that you kind of overlooked it because she fit the bill of, okay, that's competitiveness. When Angel Reese does it, you flip that mirror around. So now you got two things. Not only is this a Black person, not only is this a woman, this is a Black woman, an unapologetically Black woman who made her case and then backed it up yep. in the presser where she was like, look, she was disrespectful to me. She was disrespectful to my team. She disrespected my South Carolina girls, and you can't roll like that.
Right.
And if you want to do something about it, meet me in a championship game next year.
Win. And that's I agree with everything you say, but I have to say that I think that the leverage that Caitlin Clark was given, part of it was because, yes, she is a special player. She is a great player. Another part of it is because she is a great white player.
White player.
Because Angel Reese is a great player, too. Angel Reese just isn't a great white
Angel player. Angel Reese had, for the record, you guys, Angel Reese had, 23 double-doubles this year. She was amazing.
Yeah, and I the narrative, like I'm reading after the game, I'm reading on Twitter, which I need to stop doing. Reading on Twitter, like all these people going, oh my God, Angel Reese, she's like just a thug. And what she did was so unsportsmanlike. And you look at the bio of all these people and all of them are
they look
white.
The same. Yeah.
All of them look the same. And I listened to the guys on Speak on It and I completely agree. If you are not trash talking, if you don't understand the whole trash talking thing, you've never played sports.
Right.
Because if someone's never trash talked to you, then you haven't played competitive sports. Let me just put it that way.
It's an emotional and psychological warfare that happens there.
And the thing is, I think Clark uses it more as a psychological warfare than as a winner's kind of thing. Like she does it during the game. Like she does it as they are playing. She does it to get in your head. I give her kudos for coming out and saying, hey, you need to get off Angel Reese's case. Yeah, she won.
I took that L.
Yeah, I will take the L and we'll see her next year. That's a competitor. That's how you know that she's a competitor. But yeah, the whole bagging on Angel Reese. And I know, I hope and I feel in my heart that it was not racial. The whole idea that Jill Biden wanted both teams to come to the White House.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I'm like, yeah, she should. This is someone who's never watched sports. Like, she didn't understand the dynamics of winner take all. Like,
right. So we had an unofficial theme of tonight's show, the Participation Trophy Awards, right?
Yeah.
Jill Biden, the NBA play-in game, Joel Embiid winning the MVP.
I'm going to rename it because I can, because, you know, we're going to have to replay it. But anyway, I appreciate you so much. And I appreciate your wife for letting you come on so much. Thank her for me. And like I said, Kyle will be next week at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, doing the press coverage with the guys whose name I forgot. I wrote it down, but I don't know where it is because my notes are ridiculous. But he is from the Dynasty Football League. So if you're into Dynasty, you probably need to tune in because this man will help you. And Kyle, of course, he is an encyclopedia of information, will help you. We will not be on the week after that. We will be on Thursday, actually, the week after that. I'm sorry, the day of the draft, 8 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Mountain time, 11 o'clock. So we will be telling you about the draft. We will be at the end of the draft, right? We will be telling you how terribly bad Mel Kiper's takes were on the draft, because I'm almost positive that they will be, and how incredibly smart we are. So join us, and we thank you for tuning in. And I'm really, really sorry for the people who usually tune in on YouTube. I don't have any conceivable idea of what I did wrong, but I will figure it out for the next show. Jay, appreciate you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you soon, everyone. Thanks. Bye. Thanks.